We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on, bump up the volume. It's time to play ball. Jolo and Dibs, turn the game on.
On the Kansas City 27, he's got a first and 10. He gets the snap, he drops back 7. Rolls out of the pocket, got a block from Kelsey. Winds up, long pass. Oh, he's got Hill wide open. Over the shoulder catch, 20, 10, walking in, 5, touchdown. Off in the gun. There's the shotgun snap. He drops back. Congested pocket. Ball knocked away. Torn away. Grabbed by Bailey. Ripped it out of his hands. Goes in for a touchdown. Shotgun snap is high. Pulled down by Goff. Backpedals. Pressure through the line drive. In the end zone. Belt high. Falling down. Touchdown reception. Gerald Everett. First and goal. Down by 3. Shotgun snap. Mahomes. Short pass. Bobbled and caught by Conley. Runs to the far side. The 5 inside the pylon. Touchdown Kansas. Shotgun snap. It goes to Goff. He throws a line drive down the inside. Over the shoulder. Catch to the 15. The 10. The 5. It's a touchdown. It's a touchdown. Gerald Everett, the tight end. The Rams have taken the lead. Shotgun snap. Mahomes drops back. Winds up, he's hit, he breaks away, runs to the numbers, throws on the run, downfield, it's another interception. It's made right here by Joyner, and that interception will effectively end the game, and the Rams are going to win it.
Yeah, you know, it was a whirlwind. I feel like, I might need a couple beverages to relax tonight.
1,001 total yards, 105 total points, and the first game in NFL history in which a team scored 50 or more and failed to win. Prior to last night, NFL teams that scored 50 or more points in a game were 216-0. And then Rams-Chiefs happened. Welcome to Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Happy Thanksgiving. And I say that to you, Guru, because I heard your gripes yesterday, and Guru's telling the world, unless it's actually Thanksgiving, you can't say Thanksgiving to people.
Wow.
Just like on Christmas, it has to be December 25th. So the Grinch is alive and well from 10 to noon, if anyone would like to comment on that.
That's normally my lane, Guru, and I appreciate if you stuck with what got you here. Likeability, credibility, and the Yoon. Stay off the Grinch material. That's me. That's the older guy.
Do you agree with that, though?
No, I don't. I don't.
We can say Happy Thanksgiving all week, right?
You sure can, especially with so many people on vacation.
Well,
the kids are off.
That's about time you finally said that.
His heart grew
you.
2 sizes today.
Thank you, Hannah. Good. Yeah, my wife got the brine bag yesterday. The turkey comes tomorrow. Thanksgiving's not just a one-day turnkey operation when you're cooking a turkey and all that other hoo-ha. So,
you know, I know I've asked this before, but I got to follow up. What do you eat for Thanksgiving?
I probably will go
cardboard.
Sides only. No, I usually go sides. Occasionally, I'll make something special. We might do salmon on the side this year, depending.
Oh,
but
that's cute.
My mom, may she rest in peace, used to make pasta primavera for me, which was always a big hit. So
right.
I miss out on that without moms around. I could make it myself, but only like 6 of us having dinner. So
just wouldn't taste the same, though.
It right.
Just wouldn't taste
exactly.
The same.
She's so much superior to me as a chef. So I try to stay off her recipes because you don't really have the flavor deja vu that you want.
Right.
You end up being disappointed.
Can you eat the dressing, though, if as long as it doesn't have meat giblets in it?
Yeah, no, we'll go giblet free.
Okay, but if it has a little bit of the oil, can you eat the...
I would probably still have it. Yeah, I'm not super like, oh,
good.
You know...
Okay.
Guy strike you as a stickler?
There it is.
It's really a series of loose guidelines that he follows.
Sure, sure. It's a lot of pseudo-isms, you know, vegetarianism.
He couldn't wait to get that out. He looked at this guy.
Well, I had 2 options because you were going to keep going with those questions.
No.
I saw where you were headed. It was the giblets, then the oil. Dibs was in for about 9 more follow-ups.
No, was it?
Yes, he was.
No, was it?
Yes,
you knew what I was talking about, right? Like the turkey, the dressing, it has a little bit of turkey
meat. AKA stuff.
Of course he did.
Yeah, and
but
so
he
I
also
was wondering
knew
what he
where you were headed, and that could have gone on for the next 4
That's
hours.
That's all I
So
yeah.
I jumped in there, and
you,
I had
Joe.
To take a shot at Dibs in order to stop it, but
a little bit of the
it
oil.
Stopped.
He's a professional when it comes to food, you know.
I
about the soup.
See, there you go.
What's wrong with soup?
See?
Yeah.
Okay. See
that's
you
all
did
you're right. You know what? We're on to Cincinnati.
I'll tell you when we're in Cincinnati. And speaking of Cincinnati, special edition Beat the Bookie to end the show today around 9:50. We're going to rattle off. I got like 15 picks. I got to get them all out because I'm not coming in tomorrow. So all the picks, all for Thanksgiving, your college football picks, your Sunday picks, we got them all.
Your pay-per-view golf, I hope, as
yes,
we discussed.
You have asked for that. You will get that. There will be a pay-per-view golf prediction as well here on Joe Lowe and Dibs. Now, buckle up. This is a big show. John Lynch, general manager of the 49ers at 8:30. Papa had to get bumped to 8 for that. So we'll find out if he's okay with that. Whether he likes it or not, he's nice enough to join us at 8. John Lynch at 8:30, Tim Hardaway at 9:30. We've got Cam Inman to talk Niners in about an hour, but we're going to begin with the game of games. We had hyped this thing up for almost 2 months. I'm sitting there last night thinking, damn, beginning of October, we looked this game up on the schedule, and we talked about how it would be awesome to start Thanksgiving week with Rams-Chiefs. 105 total points on the board. Two fun facts I want to give you right now. Fun fact number one, more touchdowns were scored in that game last night than the Buffalo Bills have scored all season.
Ouch.
Number two, the Rams had 455 total yards of offense. They turned those 455 yards into 54 points and won the game. 2 weeks ago, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers turned 501 total yards of offense into 3 points.
That's hard to do.
56 additional yards, 51 fewer points. That's the difference between the top of the mountain and the bottom of the mountain, which leads us into the main conversation for today. Do you like what you saw last night?
It was unbelievable, Joe. And it's one of those times where the hype was so great that they actually moved the game from another country. They moved it back home because this game was built up so much. If these two teams were both 4-5.
All in America, baby.
That game would have stayed in Mexico City, Lo. If that game was, you know, Niners-Raiders, they would have said, you know what? Sorry about the field, but go ahead and slug that out.
Yeah, so, Bills-Jets is staying there.
This thing was so hyped up, and it made me think about the movie Black Panther, because all we heard about was this movie Black Panther and how, oh, it's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be groundbreaking.
Go ahead, boy.
It's going to be better than anything we've ever seen.
Bring it home now. Come on.
And then the movie came out, and it turned out it was a good movie.
Great analogy.
People went to see it in 99 on Rotten Tomatoes, and it made $1 billion coast to coast. And
it's like, now.
Man, you know, not always in our society, Lo, do we have the honor of having something be built up and also deliver, but this is one of those times. Black Panther, baby.
I don't have much to say. That was
missed a big window for an uptick.
You did.
There, I feel.
You really.
It's a nice analogy. It was really well executed.
Oh my God.
I was like, if he goes uptick, he can leave.
He
does not need to stay for the rest of the show. Hey, job well done.
I don't have any comp days either. I would love to have the next 4 hours. Dang it.
You played 16 years in the NFL. You were never a part of anything like this. You know what it was like to play in the heyday of the Baltimore-Pittsburgh rivalry, in the heyday of the Jacksonville-Tennessee rivalry, two matchups that were about ball control, physicality, running, winning at the line of scrimmage. This is something completely different. Is this where we're headed?
I think we are. And I've been on some teams, Joe, we can light it up, you know, with getting the 40s. I've had some high-power offense that I've been a part of, very high power. Anywho, this is something that we can look forward to the National Football League. It's kind of shocking because you'll watch defense. We always talk about, you know, the defense, the offense entertains, but defense wins games. And at the end of the game and certain points of that game, defense had to step up and make plays, not on a consistent basis. I think more the way of the NFL defensively now is a new deal. You got to have super athletes to be able to make you a play in certain opportune times, because just far as consistent defense and consistent plays and stopping people, those days are over. If the guys are too fast.
The idea of forcing a team to punt is just, we can't be banking on that.
No, you can't.
Johnny Hecker was chilling in a lounge chair most of the night.
Oh my God, seven total punts.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I mean, what are you in for? I mean, shoot, just get someone to have them just punt it. Don't pay them the big money anymore. I mean, it's offenses are that explosive. Last night, it was just that game. You're like, oh my God, who's going to get this ball last? You saw two young quarterbacks. People say, okay, Big Ben and Drew and all those guys and Tom Brady, when they leave the game. No. The way this new offenses are and the way these young quarterbacks and all the downfield and the play action and these high-powered offense, the NFL's in really good shape. It was amazing to watch last night. That game did not disappoint. It was amazing.
Last night was one of the fun nights to be on Twitter. Like, I was just interacting last night. Politics didn't creep in. There weren't the crazy hot takes or the negativity. It was just people talking about this game. It was what Twitter was originally intended.
Can't wait to see the ratings on that thing.
That's exactly one of the points we're getting into today, because the ratings are going to reaffirm this. And then my question, if you're part of the NFL Rules Committee, are you going to continue to tweak the game to benefit the offenses? Because if this thing comes out this morning and it's massive ratings and everybody's talking about it, the Big 12-ification of the NFL, as we've been saying for months around here, is only going to continue.
Yeah, and I don't know if you necessarily need to tweak the rules any further, because already receivers can run unencumbered. Even within the 5 yards, you can't put your hands on their mask. You can't really hold them anymore. You can't tackle the quarterback. We know that. So I don't know how much more you need to loosen it. You're just going to see a generation of cultivating these players, the Tyreek Hillification, if you will. Guys who can run the 4.240, just get them the rock and watch them run.
You don't have to be great quarterbacks anymore. You just got to be able to throw the ball a little, because you, as a defender, if I'm standing still and you run up on me, and because now you can't grab me, you can't touch me, you can't do anything after 5 yards, it's so hard. I don't care how fast you are to be an endurance jogging, and all of a sudden a person's already going full speed. And if a quarterback has a little bit of accuracy, it's impossible to guard receivers. Impossible.
Think about that game last night and compare it to the AFC wild card game last year that featured the Bills at the Jaguars. That's the same sport.
Wow.
Those teams, those are cohorts. Those are all peers. That's the same organization doing the same thing. Hard to believe. Now,
it really is.
How far are the Niners from looking like that? It might not be as far as you think. Plus, we want to hear from you. What did you think of the broadcast last night, and what did you think of the officiating? Dibs is going to weigh in on all that. John Lynch at 8:30. Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
49ers general manager John Lynch joins Jolo and Dibs this morning at 8:30.
Shoot me a text when you want to treat us to dinner.
You will do that, I promise. Man.
Is that
I didn't
promise?
Know you were this sensitive.
Though,
all the times I ran into you, I didn't know you were that sensitive kind of guy.
John Lynch with Jolo and Dibs this morning at 8:30 on the Bay Area's football station, 95.7. The Game. Jolo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Fun fact of the day number two. In wins this season, the Kansas City Chiefs are averaging 35 points per game. In losses this season, the Kansas City Chiefs are averaging 46 points per game.
What?
That's unbelievable.
Last night in Vegas, when that game kicked off, the over-under, also known as the total, closed at 64. That was the highest total in NFL history. They covered it with over 17 minutes to play in that game. It crossed 64 total points with over 17 minutes to play in that game last night.
Joe, one team was only 10 away from it.
From the total on their own.
On their own.
And I wonder about
the other team was 13 away.
In-game wagering, they must have shut that down at some point as far as in-game total, because like you say, when it hits the total with 17 minutes left to go in the game, the in-game wagering total must have been at 80 at that point, and then they score again, and you keep bumping that up, or at some point do they just shut that thing down?
No, they keep taking action. That thing got over 100 at one point last night, and even my wife, Nikki, came out last night and looked at this, and she, you know, standard, the wife of a degenerate, what are we rooting for? We're rooting for points. She came out at one point. She goes, it looks like it's good. I was like, yeah, there's 17 minutes left. We're good. It's home. She's like, there's going to be 100 in this game. I was like, yeah, we'll see about that. And then sure enough, back out of the bedroom. I told you there's going to be 100. Thank you. I would have played the alternate lines had you told me about this before the game, but that's neither here nor there at the moment. But yeah, there were alternate lines. Gambling Twitter last night was very upset they did not play the alternate lines. Alternate lines being, for the Super Bowl, you'll get something like last year, Patriots -4. But they'll also offer you Patriots -7, Patriots -10, Patriots -14. So you can bet a variety of anything. Last night, there were alternate totals. No one really thought to take full advantage of that. And then here we are today, 105 points on the board. And people wondering, Peter King specifically, perhaps the godfather of NFL sports writing right now, last night, did we just see a new NFL? Is this it? Is this the game that lets people know everything you know about this league, everything you thought you knew about this league is over? The days of playing defense, the days of slowing guys down, over. We saw the Rams and the Saints go toe-to-toe in a high-scoring game just a few weeks ago. This trumped that. And keep in mind, the counter to this is coming up in a few weeks. Week 14, the Rams are in Chicago to take on the Bears.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
yeah. Now, let me ask you something. If that game's on a neutral, for everyone who says defense is still important, that game's on a neutral and your life's on the line, which team are you taking?
The Rams.
I would say the Rams, but weather, I think, could play a big role in this. And that's going to be my counterpoint to your idea about the new NFL. I think it's two-pronged. One, not every team, obviously, has the depth of speed and talent that New Orleans, the Rams, and the Chiefs have. And secondarily, weather is the ultimate equalizer. Yes, because if that game is in Chicago in 4 weeks, and it's, what, December by then, this could be a whole different peccadillo for the Rams. So on a neutral field indoor, absolutely I'm taking the Rams.
Where's the Super Bowl held?
I believe Atlanta, is that right?
That's indoors. Where are most Super Bowls held? Either warm weather or in the dome. So you're right. For the playoffs, if you can host the game in your Chicago, perhaps you get that equalizer. But it's going to be difficult once you get to the Super Bowl. You know it. You actually lived it. Great defensive team in Tennessee, but you played in a dome against the greatest show on turf.
Yeah, yeah, and it worked out for them. We beat them in Tennessee earlier that year. They, you know, get
it's
us
not
in the
one
Super
people
Bowl.
Remember though.
Yeah, 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 and I don't know if the turf helped, even though we played indoors in Atlanta. We had two of our cornerbacks not out, our safeties not out. So, anywho, that's a whole different can of worms if we go down that road.
Injuries happen in sports,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, they do.
Never in football.
I really believe that either team, if that game was in Kansas City won. That game's in L.A., L.A. won. We got
oh, really?
To see that. Yeah, that's how close these two teams were last night. You got to see it. And I do believe that you'll start to see a lot of defense dibs in the way we're talking about it, going with, you know, the five-down lineman or the five-down lineman and one backer and just have another secondary guy in there and get up and play a lot more press and then play a safety over the top of the best or the two best guys and go with more dime packages with, you know, more DBs. And you'll see it. And I think that now you're going to start to see more hybrids and guys that can really get after the passer, get after the quarterback, because you need guys, you know, you can't stop teams, but you know that you can have a playmaker like an Aaron Donald at times to go ahead and boom, just one play can change one of those games. And despite not being able to stop anyone, but if you have someone capable like a Khalil Mack that can, that one play, that two plays, a forced fumble, turnover, that those things now defense are going to take a lot of pride in, because that's the only way that you're going to get wins, because the way these offenses are scoring and things they're doing, it's pretty amazing.
And that's a good question for John Lynch today is at 8:30 when he joins us, is asking him about the idea of the secondary being a focus and obviously the pass rush as well, but gone are the days of the linebacker. I mean, Reuben Foster is going to have to really adjust his game, but you're not going to go out there and look for those players anymore in the draft. So that's something I think from a John Lynch standpoint today, Joe, I'll be curious to hear what they thought of last night and how that affects how you build your team.
I think you look at these two teams, they're almost identical in their roster construction, and that's what you're going to see. This is how you're going to allocate your money moving forward. On the defensive side of the ball, it's going to be about one thing and one thing only. A game wrecker up front. Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, you saw D Ford with the Chiefs last night. He's close to 10 sacks already. Hint, hint, guess who's a free agent at a ripe age of 27 or so this coming offseason? D Ford's about to cash in. That's a conversation for another segment. But you're going to have to invest your money defensively in the front four, or if you run a 3-4 and your pass rushers like Von Miller, and that's it. You're not, gone are the days of spending $15, $16 million on a cornerback and Patrick Peterson. It's too pricey. You either get after the quarterback and you wreck shop in the backfield, or that's it. And you know what? You got to live with it because it's a salary cap league. This isn't baseball. You can't go spend $240 million like the Red Sox or the Dodgers to address everything. You're going to have to make sacrifices. You're going to make sacrifices at safety. You're going to make them at linebacker, like Dib said. And I don't think you can dedicate any of that money to corners anymore. You just want to get three or four corners who can play adequate. You don't want the star. Dump that money into Aaron Donald. Dump it into Khalil Mack. And then the rest of it goes to the offense. Look at all the money spent. Look at how symmetric it is between the Rams and the Chiefs. The Chiefs let Sammy Watkins go. He goes to Kansas City, signs for 3 years and like 40-some million. He used to play for the Rams. The Rams now need to address this, so they trade for Brandon Cooks, and they bring him in and give him a monster contract. Like, you need playmakers at receiver. You need possibly and hopefully the young quarterback on the rookie deal, and then you need some guys who can block. More importantly, though, the threat of play action is the key, because Todd Gurley last night, even though he was banged up, the idea that you might run that ball, that's what frees all the wide receivers open. I mean, is it still play action if you're play acting on every single down? Think about it. And then ask yourself this. How far are the Niners from this? How long could it take for the Niners to get there? Is it really that far off? McKinnon coming back, Garoppolo coming back. Hell, the Niners could have given up 54 points last night. you don't need to invest a whole lot of money to get to where those two teams were.
The biggest thing quarterbacks are looking for is time. And these type of offense, the only thing they need, and you can't stop any of these offenses, is time for the quarterback. That's why, like you alluded to, you got to have guys up front. And that's why you're going to have to start going with the dime package, going with six DBs, because of the fact now you sit back and you play cover eight, you play four here and four underneath and drop the linebackers. And now those front five, they got to get home. Because the worst thing for receivers, when he's running a route and he knows the guys are already back up and they're playing zone, he's like, oh, my God. And it's got a clock in his head. When am I going to get open? When am I going to get open? And you already know you got underneath zone, underneath coverage as well. It's that clock. That's when they got to get home. But when you're playing man-to-man coverage with these receivers, they're too fast. They're too shifty. You can't do it. You got to start getting home. And I do believe, Joe, that they're going to start putting more and more money in those guys up front and start going with dime and nickel practices and more zone.
John Lynch in 2 hours at 8:30. If you're on hold, we'll get to your calls next. The broadcast, the officiating, and how to build an NFL team in this new era. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
An experience you'll never forget. Black Friday is coming, and we're giving away a pair of Warriors courtside club tickets.
Curry with four, Curry with three.
Listen 30 after the hour, every hour, starting at 6 a.m.
Takes a three for the win.
Warriors courtside tickets could be yours.
He got it!
A Black Friday special on 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Great to have you with us today, Cam Inman, on the 49ers in 25 minutes. How far are they from putting something together that looks like what we saw last night on Monday Night Football between the Rams and the Chiefs? We'll also direct that question to Niners general manager John Lynch at 8:30. Beat the Bookie special edition to close the show, 9:50. We've got like 15 picks to get through this weekend. Odds of going 0-15? 5-1. 5-1, reasonable 5-1 price out there. But that's neither here nor there at the moment. Richard Deitch from, where's he at now? Is he still at Sports Illustrated? I'll get the details for you on that in a second. Just had the tweet. According to a source, ESPN drew a 11.3 overnight rating for the Rams-Chiefs game. That's lower than people in the business expected. For context, Packers-Patriots drew a 15.6. Interesting.
Yes.
We thought today, with all that scoring and all that hype, perhaps the rating would be a bit higher. A
couple things about this. One, Richard Deitch is now with The Athletic. I can't believe I forgot that. Thank you guys for popping that in my ear. Michael David Smith of Pro Football Talk comes back and says, last week's Monday night game had a 7.4 rating. So this one's up four shares, almost 50%. And additionally, that Packer-Patriot game was a Sunday night game. So you can't really compare Sunday night to Monday night because Sunday night always does better nowadays. So just a couple of context clues there for that 11.3.
Yeah, but I think, Dibs, I think you can compare those.
Oh, can you?
Daniel, I think where you're missing the point is that it was Packers and Patriots. And there's two guys on both those two teams that show you that they still have a huge
influence. Here comes Fresno.
Influence. No.
Davante Adams? No.
No, I was going to go with the quarterback there.
Does LeBron play for one of these teams all of a sudden?
LeBron.
Sorry. You know what? Sorry.
You're trying necessary?
To make a point. Yeah, I'm sorry. I retract.
Do you really? I think not.
I don't.
But I said the words.
Yeah, he did.
Aaron Rodgers. And if you look at what New England's there and Tom Brady, those two guys have been in this league for what, almost two decades? So you have guys that still have a huge draw from the 20s to the 30s to the 40s to the 50-year-olds. They've been in this league that long that you have a lot of people that already know who they are, and they've been fixtures in their organization. So last night, yes, we got to see a dandy of a game. We got to see a high scoring and
a dandy of a game.
We got to see that game that you guys, everyone's talking about. But it's crazy because the stars weren't on those two games. The stars in the National Football League, even though they're trying to ascend these young quarterbacks and to thrust them into that place, I get it. But the stars, those two guys don't have the gravitas those two other ones have. So it goes to show you that it's still, even though you got a better performance last night, those guys still sell. and they still move the meters.
Dibs, you had a great poll question that was up about last night's game. If you don't mind giving us the word for word or the paraphrasing of it, but it's going to make for a great conversation.
Please, Daniel.
Yeah, I just retweeted it, too. So if you follow me at Dan Dibble, you can see it was just a brief 45.
Thank you.
No one asked for the self-promotion.
Right.
I've had the blue check mark since 2009 when none of you young children even knew what Twitter was. You thought it was a euphemism for anyway.
I bet I was on before you.
I think we'll go to the we'll go to the boards for that.
Bet lunch?
Sure. Yeah. You're on. Not having any knowledge, but yeah, we'll put lunch on it.
Okay.
Anywho, my poll was, and this came right on the heels.
I can't wait to see who wins that.
I'm gonna win it.
I believe.
That's why I made the bet.
I'm with Joe.
Great. This came right on the heels of a couple of questionable calls in the game. The flags were flying early last night. Let's not forget that as we anoint this as the most entertaining game of the year. Everyone was PO'd in the first half
because
it was a flag show. So I simply said, which is worse, the refs or the broadcasters? And by a 2-1 margin, people were saying the broadcasters, Joe. That caught me by surprise.
All right. 21 penalties for 195 yards last night. Now, it was a bit bizarre that the NFL decided they were going to go with an all-star officiating crew. This wasn't a regular crew last night. They, for some random reason during a regular season game, they cobbled together an all-star crew.
Yes. Stage was big.
Including last year's Super Bowl white hat, the referee. So they got the best of the best right now and threw him in. But when you bring together an all-star crew.
The stage was big.
And it tends to be more about the referees. And I think last night, early on, they were gripping and they wanted to be a part of it. And there was too many flags.
Too many flags early. It was
the stage was big.
I heard that.
Yeah. redundant, but also effective. At the same time, the broadcast. All right, so what do we make of this?
Yeah,
we're now into late November of the Joe Tessitore, Jason Witten, Booger McFarland experiment. It does not feel as if people are coming around to this. My theory as to why this is not working, for one, Witten has no experience. I think ESPN saw what happened with Tony Romo. Romo and Witten played together, seasoned veterans, well-spoken guys. They missed out on Romo. Romo was this phenomenon his first year in the booth. So they figure, we got to get Jason Witten. Witten and Romo, they looked at them as similar individuals. They had to grab Witten. They immediately threw him in on Monday night. And he doesn't really fit. And that's natural. That is a highly coveted job, and people who work at that level of broadcasting have years of seasoning and experience. They've been through so much. This is a three-man booth where one guy is in a specially designed cart down on the field. I mean, if you can't even see each other, how are you supposed to know when you're jumping in, when you're jumping out? I love Tessitore, but every six-yard play, you know, it's Philly special with him. Every play is Philly special. It's just going nuts. Last night, Todd Gurley got hurt in the first quarter. They didn't address it for 7 or 8 minutes. They didn't even let you know it was happening. No one was there to break it down. No one from the sideline radioed up. It was a mess.
Think about it in terms of pro sports. And Lo, I'd love for you to weigh in on this as well. When do you see a guy make his debut, not only at the top level, the professional level, but for the best team in the best possible situation? You just don't see it. So you put Jason Witten in an impossible situation. Even Buster Posey spent some time down in San Jose in the minors in a brief cup of coffee in Double A before he came up with the Giants. So I think they put him in a position to fail.
Yeah, I think that you went in there thinking, okay, it's Jason Witten, like Joe alluded to, because Tony Romo was such a success that he would have the same type of sphere on the station, and he has not. And I think that's because he tries too hard. Witten's in a situation where he's trying to fill time, and so he's just blurting out things that sometimes it's not even factual. He's like, yesterday he said, oh, Todd Gurley's great pickup. He just cut the guy. No, he didn't cut him. He came in there and he blocked him and he turned his back to him. You know, it wasn't a great block. Gurley's got to stick his nose in there. It's just little things that you hear in the commentating. You're like, and he's trying to put stories together and he's really trying really hard. And I think he's starting to reach instead of just letting it come to him. And a lot of guys you look at, and this is why some of them have success, because of the fact it's football. So a lot of these people that are hiring these guys are like, okay, let's get them in the room and just talk about football. Quit trying to make it about everything else. Just like, boom, it's two safeties deep right here. They're going to play outside. The middle of the field should be open on this play. Just simple stuff.
Simplify life.
Yes, and he's trying to do too much. He's trying to do too much. Oh, and he's shaking his hand. Watch this. I like the way
they got so many people telling him what to do.
I know.
If he just would have started out doing Mountain West football, you know, Idaho's at Wyoming, and just get your feet working.
Right.
By the way, we have
some Penn State games. Ease in, you know, do this.
That was unnecessary.
I'm sorry. Those are generally nationally televised games, unlike
I was talking Mountain
Fresno
West.
Fresno State, who's failed to cover two in a row.
You know, I mean,
you come down that road.
Two out of 19, not bad.
Well, first of all, that's factually inaccurate. So let's get the numbers
right.
Not
bad.
Number two, you're just blurting things out. What you did was just walk around the jungle after having a couple beers and you stumbled into the lion's den. And now the lion's angry and you're looking around going, God, save me from the lion. No. The commercial is going to save you from the lion.
By the way, we have a resolution on the Twitter bet. Joined in September of 2008, I was March of 2009. So,
yeah, so that lunch is going to be really expensive because we didn't throw any qualifiers there. So I'm going to probably need the French Laundry to open up for the first time ever at lunch.
That's real.
$1,500, $2,000. Set your price. I have very exquisite.
That's real.
Dibs, it gets worse for you. I see someone on the phone lines. The comment section simply says Dibley is wrong. Sir,
what?
You will lead the next segment here on 95.7 The Game.
49ers general manager John Lynch joins Joe Lo and Dibs this morning at 8:30.
Shoot me a text when you want to treat us to dinner.
I will do that. I promise.
He said
I didn't know you were this sensitive. All the times I ran into you, I didn't know you were that sensitive kind of guy.
John Lynch with Joe Lo and Dibs this morning at 8:30 on the Bay Area's football station, 95.7. The Game. Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, this should be good.
I ain't no joke.
Now, to take you behind the scenes of how this show works, and a reminder, Niners general manager John Lynch will join us today at 8:30. When someone calls, I have a screen in front of me, and it'll show me the individual's name, their city, and then the third column says comments. So, for example, Lorenzo from Fresno, I want to talk about grilled cheese. So if we happen to stumble into a conversation about grilled cheese, as we've been known to do on rare occasions here, we would bring you to the forefront. Right now, I'm looking at something that says Gus Los Gatos.
Los Gatos.
Dibley is wrong. And I think to myself, this is a call that needs to come onto the air. So Gus in Los Gatos, welcome to the program, Gus. Floor is yours. Feel free to expound upon how wrong Dibley is for as long as you believe.
Well, good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call. And Dibs, you know, this is...
Classic scenario with a terrible connection, so we have to drop the call.
God.
So on brand for this program. It really shouldn't be surprising.
Yeah, guys, that boot track is from me to you out there in Los Gatos on Highway 17.
Did you want that one? That's a great counterpunch.
Why don't you get a better phone line buddy call back, because I really want to hear you go off on Dibs.
I don't know. I don't know if we can do that.
We can.
You call the beef line 415-403-8588. Do it from a landline, Gus, and come at me. Maybe you can win a $100 gift certificate to Harris Beef Ranch.
You really just covered everything there. Job well done.
Thank you, kid.
Job well done. Cam Inman in about 8 minutes. Last night, 54-51 is your final as the Rams defeat the Chiefs in a game that had people going nuts. But now we're left to deal with the aftermath. Is this what people are going to be striving to get to? Is this going to be the move? This is a copycat league. All sports are a copycat league. But everyone watching this last night, the Jets, the Bills, the Dolphins, are they all thinking, this is what we need to get to?
It's interesting, Joe, because earlier you talked about you saying, hey, is this the league? This is where it's going. And if so, how far is the San Francisco 49ers away from that? God, they're light years. I mean, far as I think that even though Kyle Shanahan is a very creative type of guy, his offenses aren't, I don't think they're based in the same, but I do believe that his offense can hold the ball longer. I think his offenses can be ball control to limit that. I think those are more high-powered striking offense. I don't know if the San Francisco 49ers have the talent and the speed and everything else. I know Goodwin's fast, but I don't know if they have the system in place for this type of offense. So it's going to be interesting to see, does Kyle Shanahan look at some of these things? Because you talk about a copycat league, we all do. Will he implement some of these plays? Will he implement some of these philosophies? Can he do that? Yes. Does he have the quarterback and to do that? Only time will tell. We paid the guy like you have the quarterback to do it. Right now, you don't have necessarily all the receivers to do it. You don't. You have a tight end that's pretty. You've seen Kelce, him being very, very productive last night for Kansas City. You have a tight end that can get downfield, that's fast, that can make things happen. So you have some of those things in place. Now, is Kyle Shanahan going to retool his offense? I think that is going to be the multi-million-dollar question. Is he willing now to bend and conform to those type of offenses?
I think weapons is the big one, though, because you look at both of these teams, low, and you could look at five, maybe even six guys in the skill positions who are legitimate threats to score on most any play. And then you look at the 49ers, and you mentioned George Kittle, the tight end. He's having a great year. He could be in that same class.
Is Goodwin that guy that you think with the speed?
And I don't think so. I don't think that Marquise Goodwin has shown enough durability, enough playmaking ability. The breakaway speed is unbelievable, but maybe they haven't utilized him right, but he hasn't shown that same level of effectiveness. He certainly isn't as good as Brandon Cooks or Sammy Watkins. So.
What about the running back position here, what you've seen thus far with the running back?
I think Breida, obviously, he's not in the Gurley Kareem Hunt category, but I think he's a nice piece. No, he's not. He's not that much of a home run hitter. Now, can Jerick McKinnon be another addition to that? I'll give you McKinnon, and I'll give you Breida, and I'll give you Kittle. That's still three. Three is fewer than six, so you still need a couple receivers, maybe another tight end, to get even close to this caliber.
I think these guys are a lot closer than people realize. I really do. I'm not saying next year you're going to see them looking like the Rams. Do they have a coach who's innovative, forward-thinking, and can call plays like we saw last night between Andy Reid and Sean McVay?
Yes.
Okay, so the coach is there. They have the philosophy. They have the knowledge. They have the play calling, so we've established that. Garoppolo got hurt, but he's going to be coming back next season. Last year, 26 on the road at Houston, 25 at home against Tennessee, who went to the playoffs, 44 at home against Jacksonville, when Jalen Ramsey even came out later and said, oh, he's a system guy. All right, I'll take Jared Goff as a system guy. I'll take Patrick Mahomes as a system guy. Those are pretty impressive systems. And then in the final game of the year, 34 against the Rams, but they were laying down in that game. So we've kind of seen it. Garoppolo's coming back. McKinnon, we haven't seen him yet, but if you trust Shanahan and his forward-thinking mindset and the fact that they gave him all that money to come in and fit this mold, not saying he's Gurley, but between him and Breida, if you can have a weapon who can catch the ball coming out of the backfield and he can provide a legitimate threat of running, that means you can establish your play-action game. You have Kittle. The offensive line's okay. Not terrible, not great. I don't think you're that far. I think you go out and you get yourself one good receiver, and if one of the guys between Goodwin or Taylor or Bourne or Dante Pettis turns into something, you get one more guy in there, I think you got a legitimate offense. Last night, I mean, Cooper Kupp, who saw him coming out of anywhere, right? He developed. He gets hurt. He goes down. This kid Reynolds that stepped up last night had a huge game. Robert Woods has been kind of lying in the weeds for years. He had a huge game. The only one they signed was Brandon Cooks. He's the only one making big money.
Neither one of those teams have great receivers. They have great system receivers. Now, if you told me you had, if you said, Lorenzo, you could have one receiver from one of these teams, which guy would you take out of all the receivers? It's number 10 from Kansas City. That would be the guy that I would take.
Tyreek Hill.
I'll take
pretty quiet night last night, Coach. Only 215 yards receiving. I don't know if you want to settle for a guy 10 and 215 and 2.
That's pretty hot take.
You look at what the Rams have, and you look what they have, and he's a guy to me that is in an era where the NFL used to be different. He's what Kansas City had in the returner like 10 years ago, 8 years ago.
Dante Hall.
Dante Hall in this NFL would have been a superstar because they are the same type of wiggle. They wasn't necessarily great, necessarily route runners, but they had so much wiggle and so much giddy-up, and they can beat people with the speed. The NFL has changed. It's changing. Like you're talking about the Big 12, that's what they're doing. This system for these type of receivers, you don't have to be great route runners coming in and out of routes, running that five route and sticking it in, coming back down the
routes they run now aren't even the normal route tree.
No.
They don't run comebacks and curls.
No.
They run big, sweeping, cross field.
Running through zones.
A lot of crosses.
Running through zones. Flooding the zone. Why? It's the speed, and all you have to do is give the quarterback time, and it's the speed is going to kill
you. And the linebacker can't guard these guys on an over route. When you're going from the right the right wide out all the way across to the left corner. And if you give a guy, like you say, 4 or 5 seconds to throw, he's unguardable.
Because they're trying to pass him through zones. They're trying to pass him through there. And they're like, oh, you're running. And then linebacker's stuck in no man's land. They're, you know, it's like you said earlier,
if I've got a head of steam and you're standing still, there's no way you can get there.
How often do you see guys running free?
That's all the time.
You watch Jared Goff because the eye is trained. Unless you're a scout, the eye is trained to follow the ball. So you're going to watch Goff take the snap. He's going to go play action to Gurley, yeah. And then he's going to take a few steps back and he's going to set up. And then he's almost immediately going to unload. And the second he lets go of that ball, your mind is probably thinking, how much are we going to get? How much are you going to get here? And there it is, 16 yards down the field to Robert Woods.
Yep.
22 yards down the field to Brandon Cooks. The other side of the ball, Travis Kelce, 18 yards on the out.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill streaking down the middle for 25 yards. These guys are just running free. I mean, it's amazing to watch some of these games where you see Blake Bortles. He can't find a guy 8 or 9 yards down the field just running a simple dig. Like, right. The guy cannot make a single play. And then you've got quarterbacks who are being schemed into a position where guys are running free all game. I mean, again, you have to think back. Jared Goff was considered a bust under Jeff Fisher. This entire team was a washout. They were 7-9, and everyone thought they were going to move into this stadium, and no one was going to care. Just changing the concepts to something more modern under a progressive play caller has changed everything. They're a juggernaut. Now, maybe they don't get by the Saints, but the Saints are a juggernaut in their own right.
I mean, the fans last night, that was a sold-out crowd. That place was absolutely amazing.
Coach, the game wasn't even scheduled to be played there.
Nobody likes a winner like Los Angeles. It's maybe the most bandwagon-iest town in the history of the world.
You might be right, but those bandwagoners came out last night.
I'm not denying it.
It was a packed house. That place was standing room only. It was a rocking and a socking.
It was not rocking and socking.
No,
it was pretty quiet
in between plays, which was a little disappointing to me because generally in Seattle,
you see Mahomes over there covering his ear. He couldn't even hear. I mean, place was getting it in, man. I thought the place was doing pretty well. I really did.
For L.A., for sure, but a lot of rally towels and a lot of, I don't think the noise was overwhelming. Joe and I were talking about it before the show. It didn't really come through the speaker. Maybe ESPN had it dialed down, but I wasn't hearing huge crowd noise.
Think about it like this. A Saints game, primetime game,
no.
In between plays, it's still very, very loud. You can feel the intensity. Primetime games in Seattle, that game against the Packers, Niner fans know this all too well from all the primetime games the Niners played up there. You feel that energy through the TV, even in between plays. Last night it felt loud, and then the play would end, and it would go quiet. And you would kind of just hear the conversation between Tessitore and Booger, Tessitore and Witten. And then it would go back to the play and it would ramp up a little bit and then it would ramp down. Now, Dibbs made an excellent point on the acoustics of the stadium, not exactly built like a modern stadium,
right.
In which they're trying to get an insane level of crowd.
Right. You're not going to be able to capture the noise in the old school Coliseum with, 130.